Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
I'm Gerard Farrelly.
Hi, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants. Two weeks off, and we did that. That was impressive.
It's like we're joined at the hip.
We should be reading the 6-1 news.
Oh, can you see it? I know how to shuffle paper. Do you have to stand up now?
No.
Is it a thing?
I don't know why they did this. This whole thing of
Kirsty Young
able
was the first
to see
to
the
it.
Bottom half of a newsreader. Nobody needs it.
No. Mostly they're in shorts. But actually, to be fair,
just shoulders.
I believe it was Kirsty Young was the first person to do it.
Really?
And the only reason I know that is it was on some quiz thing.
Have you seen the man, now this will only be related to listeners in Ireland, but have you seen the man that does the sports news on the 6 o'clock news? he apparently won the Liffey Swim.
Did he?
He did.
At the same time as presenting, like. I've done the Liffey Swim.
No way.
I have.
Okay, before we... Sorry listeners, we had an episode planned, but things have taken a turn. The Liffey is basically the biggest river that goes through Dublin.
Okay.
You did the Liffey Swim.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, like it was 100 years ago, right? What you don't know about me, I spent most of my teens either singing or swimming. Not a lot else, I have to say. I was a big swimmer. I used to play water polo and everything. You have no idea. That's why I have the big shoulders and the big breathing. That's it.
I never knew this. Mm-hmm. And like the Liffey Swim at the moment now, I mean, people say if you're doing the Liffey Swim, the chances are you'll get hit by a shopping trolley.
It wasn't much better then.
If you looked in the Liffey, you wouldn't think, oh, I want to get into that.
I know. To be fair, I did the ladies part because there's a ladies
swim. What
was swim.
That? The paddle?
It's down by, it's down by the strawberry beds. So it's a little bit further down. It's not as mad. But it was my first kind of real competitive river swim. I did a lot of sea swims before them. And
I'd say there was multiple drownings. Well, I'd say you pushed heads.
It happened in September, right?
Okay.
So basically what happened was, and it was pre where you wear all these neoprene things. It was basically in your speedos and good luck to you, right?
Into the oh, right, okay.
So I was there.
You got the bikini ex? Yeah,
no, I never wear bikinis. Never have, never will. So anyway, I had this speedo and I was standing at the side about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I mean, it's ridiculous, like even the time you're doing it. And they set you off in sections, obviously, because you can't all just run into the Liffey and run. That's just not the way it works. You know? So anyway, I got into the water and just as we were getting in, somebody shouted, "Watch the water, rats." Oh, my God. I tell you, I thought, what? You know, the way you're kind of just...
There's water rats.
I was already committing to getting into the rats. Yeah, of course
is. If there's water rats, I mean, if they're anywhere, they're in the Liffey.
They're
like
in the Liffey.
Fairness.
So I got into the water. And first thing was the shock of watch the water rats. Nobody had mentioned that. It wasn't in the contract when I signed it. I got in. And then, of course, because the water is so cold and unlike seawater, you don't have that kind of buoyancy of salt water. So it's like suddenly the shock of the cold gets in. And so then you think your rib cage is actually, you know, and your lungs are collapsing. So that once you get over the initial kind of, I'm going to die. And there's a couple of boats there waiting to pull out the Egypts who just don't get over
pull
that.
Pull out the survivors.
Yes. So then you start swimming, and it's about a mile long that you do, right? So it's a bit, you know, whatever. So I started swimming, and I was getting a good pace, and I was thought, no, it's not, I was never going to win it, right? I'm very aware. I was always a very strong long distance swimmer, but not a fast one, right? So I wasn't okay. About the speed, it was about achieving it.
You knew you weren't going to win. It was the no. Eastern Bloc voting.
Exactly right. It was that moment in
my life.
They're
all voting for each other.
That's right. And so I was swimming along, and you know, and then I thought, I got over my initial panic of I'm going to die from lung collapse, right? So that's how I got past that, and I'm getting into the run, and I thought, oh yeah, that's okay, getting moving along. And then something brushed my leg, and that is the fastest I've ever swum in my life. Because it might have been a stick. I don't know. And to this day, I don't know, but I have to tell you, but I can forever say I've done the Liffey swim. But I've never presented the weather. I'm really selling it to you here now, aren't I?
Well, thank God you went. Thank God you found music, Eva.
Okay. So he won the Liffey swim whilst presenting the weather. Amazing.
Yeah. And every so often, like if you watch the news regularly, like I do as an elderly person, every so often they'll allude to it. You know, they're like, so-and-so won something at the swimming Olympics, just like blah, blah. And then he, I don't know what his name is.
Blah,
he's
blah.
Lovely. Yeah, well, let's call him blah, blah.
Okay.
Do you know what? He's lovely, but you know somebody that could go from like a 7 to a 10 with just a haircut? You know, the ones.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, those people that like they could go in and get their hair cut and it would work a miracle.
Or,
like it is just one extra blade.
Or someone who has like a soft kind of, you know, from in the male equivalent in the sense of, you know, you look at them and you say with the kind of the light scruff of a, you know, kind of thing, it looks kind of fairly manly and all that. And then you remove the beard situation and then suddenly it's like, oh, okay.
I'd rather he didn't make eye contact with me when he said that name. That was an act of hostility.
No.
And I don't need it this early in January.
I know you haven't shaved yet today by the look of it. Is that a day?
Or is that? That's not a day. I wish that was a day. You've grossly overestimated my testosterone levels, Niamh.
It looks like a rough towel could take it off. That's all I'm going to say. To be fair, I could grow better facial hair than that. But no, that's not true. Nothing but love here for Grody. I was only saying to him, there was a lovely photograph on Tinternet during the weekend. And I thought, you look very wistful in that photograph, very manly.
Oh, that was, yeah, backstage in Vicar Street.
I know.
Listen, never underestimate the light of a toilet, Niamh.
We're now in our first week of January. How are we feeling about that?
Good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm feeling sort of good. I kind of have started to work out my New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, I wasn't, like, we had this conversation.
Yeah, and we were never going to do that.
We're never going to do that, and January is not the time for it. But, you know, New Year, new me.
Yeah, but you know what? The other thing that I've been thinking about in the last week or so, because everything is just, it was all gung-ho when we met before Christmas, right? And, you know, I was in the throes of shows and all this sort of stuff and you the same and all that. And then suddenly everything just stopped.
Yeah. I mean, when you came in here, it was like, I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think. Then she left here and did her last show.
Yeah. I didn't know it was my last show, but yes, it was. Anyway, so the thing is then I got to the point where I thought, honestly, this is coming up to nearly 2 years of this waiting for somebody to give me permission. And quite frankly, I'm done with it now. I'm done with it. I want to be moving forward and doing the stuff. And I want to stop people putting things in front of me here now.
Yeah, no more barriers.
So I suppose in a way, although we won't call it a New Year resolution, there are definitely, you need to put focus in there because I don't know about you, I have to have deadlines.
Totally. Well, I think that sometimes what happens, and I think you do this and I do this 100%,
mm-hmm.
we get in our own way.
Oh yeah, we do.
We completely get in our own way. And mm-hmm. I think now is the time where we've kind of decided, well, there's enough in our own way.
Oh yeah.
There's enough, other forces are putting things in our way.
Yeah.
So let's not be in our own way.
Yeah, but you know, I think also we are probably at our best when that happens. Because
oh, Niamh, that's very inspiring.
Do you like this?
Yeah,
do you like
I love
this?
It.
Do you like
it? I love it.
I know. I'm very excited about this concept. I'm at my very best and most productive when I'm right up against the wall.
Yeah.
Right? You know, not always the most creative, but definitely the best, as in, you know, I'm nearly the calmest I'm ever going to be when there's a...
When you're up against the deadline.
100%. Or if I have a lot of things to be doing. You know, I'm much better because I'm much more economical. I did read somewhere that only 2% of people can multitask. Did you know that?
Wow.
Apparently. I don't know how true this was. I mean, to be fair, this was on a thing that said, you know, set your daily personal challenge was to make your bed in the morning.
Do you know what? My, I don't think I can multitask.
Yeah, well, I think people think it's a fantastic thing to be able to multitask, and that it is, but it isn't. The thing is, how much are you actually focusing on what you need to do?
I find it too distracting.
Yeah,
I find as soon as I start to do something else,
yeah,
I completely forget about the thing I was working on. Do you know what I do sometimes? I do a day for something. Like I have to plan it in days. Mm-hmm. So if I've got to work on, like, say, today's podcast day, so I'm not going to touch anything else. Right. And if the podcast stuff ends before I was expecting it to, I'm not going to work on stand-up stuff.
No, I know what you mean. You kind of separate
it's like
it
out. A day for stuff.
So I'm very much a believer in do the job in front of you. I think it gets you through a lot of things. I think the time when I'm least productive is when I try to think about too many things.
Yeah. That's when it goes to the wall. Like, that's you're dead then. Like,
I know.
As soon as you have a to-do list with 10 things that you have to get done today, like, you'll get the top three things done well, and then... You'll beat yourself up about the other seven things.
Okay. I am the list queen. And when I am stressed or feeling overwhelmed by things, the first thing I do is make a list, and it immediately calms me.
A list of people that you want to kill.
Well, there's that. That's the other list.
These people, I want to stand on these people's necks. In 2022, I will destroy these people. Do you know what my New Year's resolution is?
What is it?
This is years in the making, Niamh.
Years?
Years. It's absolutely years.
Okay.
And I only realised it the other day.
Wow.
I was like, you just need to do this, Garrod, because it's a problem. And it'll solve loads of little problems.
Okay.
I want to learn to sew.
Do you? You want to...
Yeah.
Really? In what way?
For loads of reasons. Like, because even for shows, right? Like, I always have a second shirt.
Oh, I thought you were going to design stuff for the door. You're talking about sewing a button on.
Spring collection.
Talking about sewing a button on?
Do you have no self-respect? Buy this line of dress. I want to be able to sew on a button. And I can't sew on a button. I can't do any of this stuff. And
oh
I
my God,
I want to learn.
That is a fantastic thing
and
to learn.
When I bought my apartment, I decided that I would... No, Niamh, I swear to God, if you don't take this seriously. I'm having a life revelation.
No, Grod, I am currently trying to think of all the sewing kits I have at home that I've taken out of hotels, right? I'm going to bring them to you. You'll have enough anything you need.
I got to make a kit.
You make
I've decided.
A kit?
I'm looking up. I'm trying to find a course, right?
Will you have a thimble?
Because I'll be able to thread a needle. Because when I moved into my apartment, I thought that's the first thing I need to learn because mm-hmm. I'm going to be living on my own. I need to learn to sew. And then my neighbour moved in and she was amazing. She used to make hats. And she did anything, and I just knocked on the door and she would just put a button. She was brilliant.
But you see, I know people who can do the advanced stuff, and so get them, or else I go and pay someone to do it. Because to be fair, that, like carpentry, like anything, if you want a really good job done, you should really go to the people who know how to do it. But I think it's very admirable that you want to take a course in it, and I'll be happy to teach you how to sew a button on for less than they're going to charge you on a course.
And when you do the Eurovision in 2024, I'm going to make your dress.
Are you starting that rumour now?
This is where this was leading up to.
You want
Niamh
me to Cameron, do...
She's going back. She's going back to the Eurovision in 2024 and I'm going to make the dress.
No.
Really excited about it. It's a challenge, but I think I can do it.
Do I have to be in a dress?
If anyone has some used curtains, you can send them my way. I'm just doing a pattern.
Okay, excellent.
So, people got in touch, Niamh.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, to tell us about their January.
Okay. Because January is a funny month.
It's a weird month, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of a weird month. It's like the longest month in the year, because quite frankly, you've been paid like the middle of December. And now it's like, oh my God, I have no money. Like at this point, you're living out of the bin.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not the bin. You're probably in the vicinity of the old bread and how you can actually make it last.
You're just slightly more reluctant to throw things out.
Yes. You know, you're thinking, maybe I'll get another day out of that. You know, is there salmonella in that? I don't know.
Yeah. And what's the death rate in salmonella? Yeah, yeah. Will I survive it?
Like, I mean, you know, you could combine two things there, you know, 100%. Eat some food and then lose a lot of weight.
Yeah. I decided I wanted to lose weight a while ago and I had a Subway and a week in bed. And I swear to God, it was job done.
For long?
A whole week.
But did it last for a long? The resulting...
That's not important. No. Maintaining it is not important. It's hitting the bar. It's getting the aspirational clothes.
I know.
Closed.
That's right.
That's all it is.
That is.
You only have to just walk to the shops in them and come back, take them off, and circulation resumes.
That fit me once.
Yeah.
I love
exactly.
that. I always have at least one piece of clothing in my wardrobe that...
That fit me once.
That fit me once. Or the piece of clothing that is obviously clearly, you know, loose and hanging, but it says size 12 on it and you're going to buy it. Because that's a size 12. I mean, when you look like you're size 20 in it, but that's not the point.
That's not the point.
It has the size 12 on it.
And it doesn't mark me. No.
Doesn't leave.
The imprint.
No, the amount of times, no, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at that because the amount of times where I would have maybe had to wear a skirt or a dress and realize that I've worn my jeans to the event and then, you know, the line from the jeans.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and I have got, I have to say, you know, of all the lovely things I have, my legs are fantastic, but they're less fantastic when you have a line.
When's a jean seam? When
you, a jean seam.
Ankle to knee.
Yeah.
In an IFTA's photograph.
It just doesn't quite cut it, really. Okay, so we have Anne. And the January plan is walking the legs off little dog Freya, brackets her suggestion, and tune into my favourite people on social media, which is apparently you and me. Excellent.
That's us. Thank you, Anne.
Okay, and I just want to say, little dog Freya, when you say her suggestion, does that mean little dog Freya said, I want you to call me little dog Freya? Because if that's the case, I need to meet Freya. Freya is my new best friend. Little dog Freya.
Little dog Freya. Alan says, it's January 3rd and I'm still doing well on the New Year's resolutions thing. Woohoo! Like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. 3 days in, Alan.
Well done.
Okay. We salute you, but quite frankly, I'm not sure that's a test.
No.
I want to hear on January 20th.
Well, I said I was going to give up meat for January.
How's that going?
And I wasn't going to do dry. I was going to do dry January as well. And I did a show last night and then I had a burger and a gin tonic afterwards.
Yeah.
There we go. That's the third. That was the second.
Well done you. Well done you.
So I had essentially my month of being good was essentially a quiet day.
Yeah. So, you know, dry January turned out to be dry 1st of January.
Yeah.
Maybe even to the second. That's pretty good now.
Yeah, not bad.
Okay, so some of the second, to be fair. Okay, so Victoria says she's going to cut out the sweet cravings. Now, to be fair, I think it's a lot easier to cut out the sweet cravings at the beginning of January. As January moves on, it's a little bit more difficult because A, you've eaten the size of your house of chocolate and sweets and you're actually physically sick at the sight of it. But if there's a tub that has chocolate in it, what's going to happen is you're going to be face down in it.
Yeah.
Even if you're going...
Yeah, you know, you just eat them because, like we did earlier on, because there was a box of roses.
There was a box of roses. And you and I both automatically, I mean, I popped that bad boy open and there was no reason for it.
And I will also say this, we need to clarify, they were not our roses.
No. they were in the kitchen. That makes it group roses.
They were head stuff roses.
Head stuff roses.
We're head stuff.
Head stuff, we thank you. And salute you.
So, do you know what apparently is good for cutting out sweet cravings?
Oh.
Top tip. Apparently, if you take like a shot of apple cider vinegar in the morning.
Wow. Oh,
I've done it a couple of times and it does work.
I've heard it's very good for you overall, actually, that. But that's a step too far for me.
Okay, next up is Sarah. Okay, January gym time means trying to look like you're not new here, walking like you belong here and using the machines like a pro when actually you look ridiculous. You can't walk because your legs are too sore from overdoing it and it's only the 3rd of January and you've no idea how to use the machines. And then when you have read the instructions for the said machine, you think you have it sussed, you select the weight and you realise that it's way too heavy for you. And the weights clank down so noisy that everyone looks at you, and all that effort that you put in at the start to blend in has just been destroyed. It's not funny, but it's a real problem.
I'll be honest with you, it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. It is. But do you know what I will say about this, right? Mm-hmm. I think when you go to the gym, there is this thing of being afraid to look or appear new.
Yes, but there's also the problem is it depends on the gym that you join.
Yeah.
Some gyms you go into and it's okay to turn up and be in that state of disarray.
Yeah. Right?
The difficulty is you go into some gyms and there are lovely, lovely, lithe human beings in there who have worked hard for what they're doing, and I applaud it. I admire it. They wear the Fabletics gear, the gym gear.
You know,
like it's a fashion runway. And unfortunately, if you're not there, that can be a little bit off-putting, I think.
It is off-putting, but I think you need to look at it from the other side of this.
And be aspirational.
But no, be aspirational. No, I have no interest in aspirations. I'll tell you what I want.
What do you want?
You're not charging me 50 quid a month to walk in here and look at loads of people that look like me. I've no interest in that.
Oh, yeah, no, I get
that. I want to pay 50 euro a month to go in, sit and drink water and watch hot people work out.
Okay, that's
what you're paying for. And any exercise you do should be considered a bonus. That's the way I look at it. It's just entertaining.
You can smell it more.
Because you just go in.
I don't know.
No, it's just like, otherwise it's horrific.
Okay.
Like if you say to yourself, I'm going to go now and I'm going to go to I did 2 spin classes before Christmas. Like, have you ever done a spin class?
Yes.
Why? What are we doing? Like, and your woman, like, she had a headset. She, like, have I talked to you about this? She had this headset, so she was talking real low. But she was saying, like, these really inspirational things.
What, like?
Like, so she was...
What's inspirational?
Well, not much inspirational. Like, she thought they were inspirational. But she was like, you need to dig deep into your soul now, and we're going to climb to the top of this mountain. I was just like, Jesus. You need to believe in yourself. You are a winner. In your heart, you are a winner. And I was like, you need to stop, love.
No.
This is very intense.
I'm already trumped.
So I think when you go to the gym, it should just be, I'm going to go to the place where all these people work out. And you're just like, okay, he's doing that. I'll do that.
I have a great idea, Grod, right? What if you had a spin class, right, that you were leading, right? No, stay with me on this, right? What I need is some sort of distraction. You know the way sometimes people watch a bit of TV or whatever they're doing that you can never hear, right? I don't understand that in a gym, right? Because there's always something on the TV, but you've absolutely no idea what's actually going on in it. I mean, I once was in a gym and Escape to the Country was on and you're going, what the hell is that about? You need somebody to distract you from the fact that you're doing something that absolutely...
So like stand-up comedy in a gym?
Oh, it'd be so amazing. Look at the stage. I don't know.
Well, I presume you meant stand-up comedy and not like me in a Penny's tracksuit going, just put it on whatever set you want.
No, I meant...
Life is hard enough. The last thing you need is to do 10 more sets of this.
No, I didn't mean that. But when you're at your most intense, that somebody would make you laugh. Not laugh, because obviously you need that energy to get past that. But somebody would just distract you from the fact, I don't really want to go into my soul at that point. I just wanted you to tell me how many more times I have to do this, which they always lie to you about.
Now, that, oh my God.
It doesn't help. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't care what anyone says. That is the worst thing that you could do. And I remember I had a personal trainer.
Oh, I did too.
I had about 3 sessions with that guy and he kept doing that. And I just said, look, you have to stop doing it. It's the one thing I don't want. Yeah. And on the third one, he was like, okay, that's it. And then you have 2 more and then 2 more. Okay, another 10. And I was just like, put it down. I was like, no, we're done. Good luck.
That's not how
like,
I
if
want
somebody,
it.
If somebody says, you've got to do 100 of them, I go, grand, I'll do 100.
Do you
like,
though?
No, but like, I mean, I won't be pleased about it.
But you can see the reality of it.
But it's just like, well,
it's like shoveling
set
shit.
Set the goal, but don't have me reach the goal and then you throw something else at me. Yeah, that's not the way it works.
It's like shoveling shit, as they say, horse shit. You know, you count the barrels and that'll get you through it. I portion out time in my head and stuff. I don't want to be told I've only got two left and then there's another eight after. So that would upset me. That would upset me. You will not motivate me to go beyond that too. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just depressed for the rest of that. Because then I don't believe you.
And I'm not delighted when it's over.
No, I don't believe you.
No, because it's like... Because usually what happens is when they say you've got another 10, you don't make that other 10.
I once had a personal trainer, as in I booked personal training sessions in a place. And I didn't do my research beforehand because I went to a place that involved going downstairs, which is fine when the first time you go in. The second time you go in, you have to A, get back up the stairs, which is not easy. And then also what you forget about is the next day you're not going to be able to bend your knees enough to go down those stairs. I love a good angry walk. You know, when some of you have fallen out with someone or someone else has fallen out with someone. Oh, it's an amazing walk then. You absolutely lash around.
Oh my God. So what's better?
What?
An angry gin and tonic.
So anyway, Sarah, good luck with that. Just stick out with it, obviously.
Yes,
you can tell that we're very in support.
Don't you go in there and feel less than them.
No.
No. And do you know what to do? Go in and make sure you know what you're doing before you sit down. Read the instructions. Don't, because I used to do that. I'd go in and I'd pretend I wasn't reading the instructions. So then I'd do, you know.
Oh, but you know what else they do, right? Especially the people who've been there for a while. They think they own the weights or the machines.
Yeah.
And the, and you're about to go on the machine and they go, I was just
going to do another set on that.
Yeah. Well, you're not on it, are you? Move on.
Move on. Jog on.
Jog the feck on. Sorry. I feel strongly about this. Okay, so Ross, I'm going to try and form good habits and try to stick with them. I'm not great at sticking to them. Ross, I know exactly what your problem is. You are not specific. Try and form good habits. You need to be specific. One thing at a time. So what you do is you do pick one thing. Say, okay, I'm going to drink more water. This is how you have to quantify how much more water you're going to drink.
Yeah.
You got to say, over a period of time, you've got to give it a good 3 weeks for it to actually develop into a habit. And then once it's going, do the next thing. And I'm not saying that you can't do a couple of things, but form good habits could be anything. I'm going to make lots of money. That means nothing until I get specific about why that is.
I want 100 grand a month.
Okay, good.
For doing very little.
Okay.
And that's the specific bit.
I'm coming with you for that one.
So we have a problem. We have a problem. And it's an interesting one.
Okay.
And it's one that I think, I'm not going to say it's very uniquely Irish, but it feels uniquely Irish.
Okay. Come on then, bring it on.
Okay. So, dear Niamh and Garrod, I have a dilemma. I hope you both had a lovely Christmas. Thanks for all the laughs. I only started listening a couple of weeks ago and my New Year's resolution is to only listen at the gym to make sure that I go. We may never hear from Helena again.
Helena, please don't make the gym a proviso of what we're doing. You've only got two more reps to go.
Yeah. Go on, Helena.
Yeah, go on, Helena.
I was down home for Christmas and it was great to see all my brothers and sisters. But there was something weird that happened. Ooh. On Christmas Day, we were having drinks and my eldest brother mentioned very casually that he would be getting the house when my parents pass away. Oh my God. This came as a bit of a shock as we had always assumed that the house would be sold and divided five ways. It is something that we have never discussed, but we are planning to discuss it with my parents very soon. I bet you are. Have you any tips or advice on how to handle it?
Now, Helena, we are assuming that you did not like shout in his face, like, what the hell are you talking about?
This is fascinating, but look.
Is he the eldest son? Is it that old school thing?
If it isn't, if that's a thing, I'm the eldest son. And if that is a thing,
you're in
that
support
really depends on how I answer this.
No, listen, Helena, I get this, right? To be fair, this is a very thorny issue. It's under that whole thing of what happens when they die and all this rubbish.
Especially, I think, at the moment where like house prices are through the roof. Like, a lot of people have their eye on that. Like, there's a lot of there's a lot of parents stepping over tripwires because people are trying to get their deposits together.
I think more than once my children have intimated that they're looking forward to that period of their life. This is a tough one, Helena, because actually, in the grand scheme of things, once everybody's reared, I say it should really be equal.
The other thing is, you don't know whether he has already had this conversation with your parents. This could be something that has already been signed and sealed.
Yeah.
But what I will say is, this goes back to my college days. I think, I'm almost certain, you cannot leave a property, a family home, to just one child.
Really?
Yeah. Or not, you can do it, but I think it's contestable. Like, I don't
when
think.
When did you study law to that extent?
I wanted to see if I could get the family home.
No, do you know, actually, it's a really funny thing here, because it's one thing that your parents might want something. It's down to whether you all want to spend enough money contesting that. I think the time to tackle.
Oh, yeah.
The time to tackle this now.
This is something that you...
This is a conversation with your parents.
Yeah. And do you know what I will say about this? If you're having a conversation with your parents, and I get the impression that it'll be you and your siblings that are having this conversation with your parents, whatever you do, do not exclude the eldest brother from these conversations.
No, definitely not.
Because then you're in a situation where you could be getting one story from your parents and they're telling him another story. This is...
You don't need a
whole
them
family together. Yeah, the last thing you need in a family.
You need it to be... Now, to be fair, this is your parents' house and they are still alive and entitled to...
For now. But I would imagine...
Clearly.
That could be in question the second Helena gets the pair of them on their own.
You know, I think how I felt about that in my 20s and 30s is very different now that I'm in my 50s. And I'm thinking, my kids are looking at me in the same avarice that I may have looked at my parents at one time.
Leaving tennis balls on me upstairs.
You know? It's a kind of a funny thing, Helena. It is definitely a conversation you should have. You should have it not in anger. You should have an absolute conversation. And I think there has to be a very valid reason from your parents why they're not leaving it to everybody. I think yeah. To me, it would be very strange.
Like, that's a good point that you made. Because the reason has to be, like, you don't know, maybe your brother has bought the house from them already, or, you know.
You don't know. You need to find out why he has this assumption. It's best to do it as a group, I am telling you now. Because if you have this conversation independently, but it's going to be a difficult conversation. Unless you have a very close relationship with your mum or your dad, you could have a little small side word initially and say, look, we need to raise this because everybody was quite shocked. You don't actually have to ask the question. You can bring it up and say, we were all quite shocked to hear so-and-so say whatever.
Yeah.
And I think in a way suggesting that kind of things, I said, we were all a little bit, you know, surprised and, you know, perhaps a little hurt, you know, if that's the case. And you just leave that there. And then sometimes then that allows them to have that conversation. Maybe they didn't realize it. Maybe they don't know. Maybe it's not a thing. We're all having the lawnmower conversation, as we call it, where you're falling out with someone before you even get there.
Try not to have too many conversations without him. So you could, like, your siblings have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Without him. Then have a conversation with maybe your parents.
Do not have... like a group discussion away from the other brother. If you're having a group discussion, everybody should be there for that.
Okay.
One to one, fair enough. Maybe if you have that kind of relationship with one parent or both parents, to say, I was a little surprised to hear that. I think that probably needs to be addressed. I think everybody felt a bit funny about that. But I will say this, if your parents decide to leave it to the cat's home, then that's really...
It's their choice.
It's their choice. And I don't agree necessarily.
But do you know what, Helena?
What?
If they're going to do that, you find the worst home that you can find. And you should say, that's where you're going. If you have to go into a home...
You're only saving the money for the cats.
if the money's going to the cats and dogs, well, spend your last years with them.
Yeah.
There's a Move spare in. Pen.
No, but I'm just saying, at the most traumatic time of your life, if you want to splinter your family... Be unclear about what you want. Be unclear about what you want. Because, it's full of assumptions.
Heightened emotions.
Yeah, full of assumptions.
Yeah.
So if you want your family to survive your death, in the sense of that as a family unit, then be very clear and be as fair as you possibly can. That's the only thing. It's not for you, Helena. Obviously, you obviously have yourself sorted.
And try not to have too many conversations before you talk to your parents about it, because
it sets a lot of things.
From my family, like, if if one person steps out of line, that's a whole lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, that's a separate WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
You know, try not to let that go on and too long before you approach it.
And then it's it it augments a situation that isn't even there in the first place. So you might
be... he might have just been joking. And also, if he was joking...
Yeah.
Like, high five. Well done. Like, if he was joking, he has absolutely won.
Desired effect. Yeah,
you've written in here.
I know.
You've ruined your Christmas.
Like, I know.
The man's a king.
Is that how we want to finish this for Helena, though? Let's be positive.
No, well, the last thing I'm going to say to Helena is that if she is pretty certain that she's not getting the house, you burn it to the ground.
Oh, man. There you go. That's the measured response you were hoping for.
You skip the burial and you put a petrol bomb through the porch and you never speak to any of those people again.
You know, we've been doing this a long time now and I'm still shocked when you do that.
Like, I'm on her side, Niamh.
I know you're on her side.
I'm not going to see somebody walk away with her inheritance.
No, exactly. So get off that gym bike now and go and sort that out.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing?
Why are you in the gym when that needs to be sorted?
Get round to his house and have a conversation. We are stopping for a moment to remind you that we are part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, you can pledge as little as €5 a month, and in return, you will get bonus content from us and all of the other shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network, including this one, which is one of my absolute favourites. The show we are cross-promoting this week is Double Love. And if you've ever read the Sweet Valley High books, this is the podcast for you. It's hosted by Anna and Karen, and it is brilliant. They go through each book, and on the bonus content, they do the Sweet Valley High TV show. Double Love. You're absolutely nailing it. I love it.
This is how it's always been.
Double Love is a podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. Join me, Anna Carey.
And me, Karen Moynihan.
As we revisit one of the maddest series of books ever written, or ghostwritten.
If you ever read about Elizabeth and Jessica, the perfect blonde Wakefield twins, then you might enjoy listening to us absolutely tearing them to shreds. Affectionately, of course.
Of course. And even if you didn't, there's still plenty of drama, kidnapping, stolen boyfriends and school dances to entertain you.
Find us on the Headstuff Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've learned a lot this show, haven't we? As a matter of fact, there's so much stuff, we might have to do more next week.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of responses about how people are surviving January.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we'll have more of them next week. But thanks so much to everyone that listened.
And listen, we are here in support of you, so don't lose hope.
Yeah, we are here to dig you out of whatever mess you've got yourself into.
I know.
Also, if you want to support us, and you can totally support us.
Yes.
You can subscribe to Headstuff Plus over on headstuffpodcast.com for as little as €5 a month.
Yeah.
You can pledge whatever you want, but €5 is the minimum. Mm-hmm. And you will get bonus stuff from us that is pretty exceptional. And we're going to have more news because most of you would have got that bonus episode over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be more bonus episodes, but we have got some very interesting bonus stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited, Niamh?
Oh, I can hardly contain myself.
She's vibrating.
Yeah. That's a different thing, though.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today. Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.